Chapter 4, The Bounty, Part 2. It took Din quite a while to sift through the veritable library of information in Dreetus's file, and a bit longer to follow up on some of the more recent leads. The Stinger Mantis's movements over the past few standard years were utterly incomprehensible, even for someone who'd spent some time on the run. There was no pattern, no consistent point of interest. If Din didn't know any better, he'd say his target was another bounty hunter. Din eventually caught up, as he always did. The luxury Lotero ships stood out amongst the run-down ones that were common in the more remote systems, and the denizens of the port towns were always eager to talk about interesting newcomers, especially when credits were involved. The Razor Crest coasted through the dense white clouds over the snow-covered forest of Karlak. There were no functioning spaceports out here, and only a small number of villages near the equator. Din's scans only picked up one other craft near the planet, not far ahead. He couldn't imagine what they'd be doing here of all places, but it wasn't his job to know. Din was careful to keep his ship out of sight in the clouds. When it looked like he was directly above the Mantis, he dropped the Razor Crest below the clouds. Sure enough, the other ship, much larger, but not well-armed or armored, was directly below him. It banked east and shot forward, but Din was ready for it. It really was a beautiful ship, Din thought as he fired the laser cannon at its blue and white dorsal wing. The shots found their marks, and the Mantis lurched off course, trailing smoke, before stabilizing slightly. "Stinger Mantis, please disarm your weapon systems and prepare to land," Din called into the ship's comms. A gravelly voice replied, "No can do. If you want money, you might as well move on, kid. I know the ship's fancy, but there ain't nothing on here but a few freaks and some ill-tempered plants." "I'm here for Dreetus. That's you, isn't it?" There was a wave of static and garbled voices in response. Din fired a volley of shots at the Mantis, which swerved neatly to avoid them. "Oh, well, there was more where that came from. I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold." "How about you bring me in not at all?" Dreetus said with a chuckle. Din sighed and prepared to fire on the other ship again. Then, several things happened in rapid succession. The Mantis came to a complete stop in the air, and the Razor Crest zipped past before Din could do anything about it. He yanked the flight sticks to the right to spin back around, but as he did, there was a sharp, teeth-rattling sound of grinding durasteel. Both engines stalled, and the ship began to lose altitude quickly. Din swore in an attempt to control the descent, the cockpit eerily silent without the drone of the thrusters as the snow below got closer and closer. He barely registered the Mantis careening away towards Karlak's mountainous horizon. The Razor Crest crashed into the forest, precipitating an eruption of ice and mud, snapping the trunks of red-leafed trees as it went. It was fortunate that he hadn't been far from the planet's surface. The worst of the damage would be from whatever the Mantis had done to his ship. But, as Din observed when he left the cockpit to run diagnostics and take a look at the engines, nothing had been done to the ship at all. Aside from some scuffs from the trees he'd hit on the way down, it was in perfect condition. And when he started the launch cycle, the engines roared to life without complaint. Din sat back in his pilot's seat, baffled. He'd never seen anything like it. It was as if the engines had just stopped working, completely on their own. Even the most precise of weapons left some residual scoring, but there was nothing. Some new kind of weapon, then? Or could it have been a fluke? The Razor Crest was hardly a new ship. Din continued to speculate as he left Karlak. He needed a new plan. Din knew that the damage he did to the Mantis, though minor, would need to be repaired before the ship could enter hyperspace. He scanned the port cities in and around Karlak's system, hunting. They wouldn't fall out of his grasp again. Barring any more unforeseen acts of rebellion from his own ship. He found the Stinger Mantis docked in a mechanic's landing pad on the fourth town he checked. This time he gave the ship a wide berth and landed the Razor Crest in the plains just outside the town. He approached on foot, the Amban, and backup pistol in tow. The town was busy. It was early morning, but there seemed to be some sort of festival in full swing. Locals flooded the plazas, laughing and dancing, and the stone streets were littered with streamers of every color. Din walked along the fringes of the festivities towards the Mantis, grateful for the distraction. When he was in sight of the mechanic's shop, he climbed a trellis to the roof of one of the taller houses. From there, he could watch the ship, and hopefully, be able to strike without anyone around to interfere. For a long time, there was no movement at all, save for the skittering of the pit droids as they worked on the ship. At midday, Din's patience was rewarded. He saw movement on the Mantis's entry ramp, and through his magnification eyepiece, he could see two figures leaving the ship. One was unfamiliar to him, an older woman in unusual earth-toned robes with dark skin and graying hair. The other was, unfortunately, quite familiar. The red-haired man was wearing yet another poncho. This one was black with yellow sleeves. How many ponchos could one legally own? Surely there had to be a limit. Poncho's little droid clung to his back, folded up like some sort of strange strapless bag. The pair strode away from the ship and Din's position, their heads bent together conspiratorially. A scan of the Mantis yielded only one heat signature in the ship's cockpit. He had to hurry. It was unlikely that they'd leave their companion alone for long. If Cal had been flexible enough, he would have kicked himself. He'd known it was a bad idea to leave Grease alone immediately after the incident on Karlak, despite his old friend's gruff reassurances. But he'd done it anyway. He'd overestimated his own senses and vastly underestimated the Mandalorian's tracking abilities. He and Seer had returned to the Mantis not 5 minutes after they left for supplies to an empty ship. Cal rested a hand on the arm of Grease's chair, sensing the tang of an unwelcome surprise and the cool, neutral presence of the Mandalorian still lingering in the Force. Seer bustled into the cockpit, severing his connection to the memory. "If we move quickly, we might be able to cut them off before they leave the planet," she said as she slid into the pilot's chair. Cal nodded and hastily took his own seat. It didn't take them long to track down the Mandalorian's gunship, which was preparing to take off. The Razor Crest was a distinctive, dated model, though in impressively good condition for a pre-Imperial craft. Seer's dark eyes found his, and Cal knew she was thinking the same thing he was. They couldn't attack the other ship with Grease inside, not like they had on Karlak, when Cal used the Force to disable the other ship's engines. Too precise, too risky. Their only hope was that the Mandalorian would be willing to negotiate something. Cal thought hard, desperately reaching for the limited amount of information he had about the Mandalorian people. Meanwhile, Seer flew in low above the Razor Crest, close enough to keep the other ship grounded. The comms lit up with an incoming transmission, and Cal opened the channel. "Move your ship, please, before I make you." The Mandalorian's voice sounded almost robotic between the layers of his vocorder and the comms. "Not until you release our friend," Seer replied. "This doesn't have to end badly. I'm only doing my job. It's nothing personal." "It is for us." "Maybe your friend should have thought about that before he accrued so much debt." Cal pushed past Seer to half-shout into the comms. "Those debts predate the New Republic and the Empire. If you work for the Haxian Brood, you know they don't care about the money. They want to make an example out of him. It's not about justice or honor." "That's not my problem." was the unconcerned reply, and the Mantis's scanners picked up the Razor Crest's weapons charging. Criff. That was it. Cal should have known it was hopeless to try to talk a Mandalorian out of doing whatever they'd been hired to do, unless they had something that was even more important and... Oh, wait! Cal sprang upright and bolted from the cockpit. Where are you going? Seer hissed at him. Just 1 minute, Cal called over his shoulder. He ran back through the galley and his own quarters to his workbench. In all his years traveling across the galaxy, Cal had accumulated many objects of interest. Most of it was tech that he used to tinker with his saber or passed off to Grease for the Mantis. But he found artifacts as well. Real leather-bound books, carved figures, ancient and forgotten, fragments of destroyed Jedi temples, still charged by their connection to the Force. One object, or set of objects, Cal thought, might be of interest to a Mandalorian. He hoped he was right. He rummaged through his chest of stuff until he found them, wrapped in old ragged cloth, which he unrolled across the workbench. They were blades, a whole set of them, in various sizes, finely crafted and wickedly sharp. More importantly, they were made of pure Beskar. Mandalorian iron was one of the strongest materials in the galaxy. Not even his lightsaber could pass through it easily. Nor did it rust or tarnish with age. It was also as rare, almost as rare, as the Mandalorian people themselves these days. Even a small amount used to forge the knives was likely worth 10 times whatever Grease was to the brood. Cal wrapped up the knives and returned to the cockpit just in time to see the Razor Crest starting the lift from the ground. He whacked the control panel to reopen the comms. Wait, Capote? It may have been wishful thinking, but the ship seemed to slow down slightly at Cal's probably butchered Mandoa. It was enough to encourage him. We have something of yours, something that belongs to your people. I'm listening. Pure Beskar, probably 800, 900 grams, a set of blades. I offer an exchange, the whole set for our friend. What's stopping me from blowing your ship out of the sky and taking both? Only your honor, Cal hazarded. Silence. I'll throw in a favor, too, redeemable whenever the need arises, he added as an afterthought, ignoring Seer's vigorously shaking head. For a long time, there was nothing but static. Cal's hand closed on the hilt of his lightsaber, not because it would be very helpful in this situation, but simply for the comfort of its weight in his hand. He heard the soothing clicks of BD-1's joints as the droid peered over Cal's shoulder. The Razor Crest sank back to the ground and its engines dimmed. Very well. Cal released the breath he'd been holding. BD-1 can bring you... No droids, please. Perhaps that was for the best. Cal wouldn't have put it past BD-1 to try to pull some shenanigans, considering his droid's last encounter with the Mandalorian. The exchange was conducted without fanfare. The Mandalorian waited, still as a statue, for Cal to drop the Beskar blades at the foot of the Razor Crest's boarding ramp, and back away to Seer and the Mantis. Then the bounty hunter moved aside, releasing a disgruntled but otherwise unharmed Grease from the bowels of his ship with the slightest of nods, and moving to collect his payment. Creepy, creepy dude. It's something about the eyes, Grease muttered to them as Cal undid the cuffs on all four of his arms. You saw his eyes? No, but I know they're in there, Grease shivered. Cal thought he had a point. When the pitch-black T-visor of the Mandalorian's helmet locked onto him as the ramp of the Razor Crest closed once more, with a hiss of hydraulics. I can't believe you offered our services to a Mandalorian bounty hunter, Seer grumbled to him as they all piled back onto the Mantis. Hey, it worked, didn't it? He could ask us for anything, and we aren't as disconnected as we once were, Cal. We know things. The Order... Cal put a reassuring hand on his former master's shoulder. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. It was my promise. I'll handle it. I trust you. Cal smiled, the weight of her oft-tested faith not lost on him. Cal couldn't bring himself to be too worried. They were together, after all, and there was work to be done.
Yeah, thanks, kid,
Grease said as he passed Cal to get to the cockpit.
Without warning, a powerful impact shook the Mantis, and Cal stumbled gracelessly into the wall. BD-1 let out a shrill chirp of alarm, and Cal felt the droid's feet clasp tighter onto the back of his poncho.
What the hell?
For a second, Cal thought the Mandalorian had come back to finish his job after all. But once he regained his balance and got to a viewport, he saw another unfamiliar ship preparing to fire on them once again. The Brood, ever thorough, must have sent multiple hunters for Grease after all.
Grease, get us out of here! What do you think I'm trying to do over here, make Jawa juice? He shouted back.
Another blast rocked the ship, and the Mantis's internal systems started to wail plaintively. They couldn't take another hit like that, and they were about to, as Cal could tell from the way that gunship's laser cannons were beginning to charge. And then the gunship exploded in a cloud of fire and smoke.
Nice shot, Cal called to Grease in the cockpit.
Wasn't me. That Mando must be keen on that undefined future favor.
Sure enough, Cal spotted the Razor Crest swerve around the descending fireball of ex-gunship and fly away, up into the atmosphere.
Fascinating. Either Grease was right, and the Mandalorian foresaw a future use for them in exchange for his friend's life, or he was very, very territorial about his bounties.
Whatever the reason, Cal was grateful.
Seer sighed heavily and flung her robe down on the table in the galley.
Let's just get off this planet before anyone else decides it's time for us to die.